This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A, always B, B, C, closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody f***ing likes.
Hey, what's up, fuckers?
Well, that actually sounded like I cussed at the guys.
You did. It's a terrible intro for you. You need to change that up a little bit.
I really didn't mean to. I called you guys fuckers.
Fucker
podcast. But it really was towing the line of potentially crossing the line. Welcome to a rare Tuesday podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. We have a method to our madness. Our big football recruiting party is on Thursday at Thunderhead, and that's always a crazy day. So we figure we get the podcast done early in the week, and it just makes more sense. And that way we can promote the party and, yeah.
So the Super welcome. Bowl is fresh in our minds.
Is that what you want to talk about, Mark?
Do
you
want to go Scam Newton?
Do you have like a rant on Cam Newton? Like
I got a bit of a rant.
You kind of just jumped in there like you're ready to go. Like you've been stewing about this.
I got a bit of a rant.
Okay, what do you got for us?
I don't like how he responded after the loss. That's my position. You lost the game, and frankly, he did not play well. The offensive line played horribly, but he didn't play well. His passes were high, whatever. He had a bad game. But you can't be, after every win, super happy, super whatever. You know, you're showing up in your finest suits. You're flashing your smile. Everything's great with the world.
He does have a beautiful smile.
He does. And then
it's dreamy.
And it's like, you know,
he's almost Fred Hoiberg.
He's doing his, it's called a dab. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
what
dab.
He does? The dab.
I'm tired of hearing about that.
He's doing that, right? And then the minute he loses, complete 180, and now he's mopey. And he doesn't want to talk. Have some class when you lose.
And
he didn't have any.
He doubled down on it today. He said, I told you guys all along I'm a sore loser. I have no problem being a sore loser. I hate losing, so I'm going to be a dick when I lose.
Yeah, but I don't like sore losers, man. You lose with dignity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come out and you act like a man about it. Not a little whiny brat. So
that's funny coming from a Tom Brady apologist over here. You know what I mean?
What does Tom do? Tom doesn't do that in a press conference after a loss.
What do you mean apologist?
Him and Belichick. Every
hey, pull
time
the
they
mic
lose,
up a little bit.
You're every
little,
every time go. They lose, they go from being well. Belichick's the same all the time.
Why do you always go back to the Patriots? You're like a Hawk fan obsessed with Iowa State, except it's you and the Patriots.
You shut your mouth.
Seriously,
that's a terrible.
He has
analogy.
Nothing. He's not talking
that's
about
awful.
Anything with the Patriots.
No, I mean I'm just saying Brady. He can be a little bit of a whiner when they lose too, a little bit mopey. He can be.
Not,
Brady can
not,
be mopey.
Not on Cam Newton's level.
Hey, he hasn't got up and left like Cam did, but he has sat there with his head down, been mopey and short with answers before. He has. He's been mopey before. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought the game kind of sucked too.
I didn't think it was very entertaining.
No, it definitely wasn't.
That was one of, for being like a scoreboard close game.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst Super Bowls. We've seen bad Super Bowls that are just blowouts and nobody cares about after about 20 minutes. Like a couple of years ago, we saw that. But like that one, for being a competitive game, was just...
Did you read, there was this statistic that came out that said, I think it was 41 out of the 50 Super Bowls now, the superior defense statistically wins the game. I didn't know it was that much.
That's
41
crazy.
Out of 50.
And they were still five-point favorites.
The better defense. So, well, it's just because of how well they looked coming into the game. They looked great. And Peyton Manning, frankly, and I know you love him. You think he's one of the greatest of all time.
Well, he is one of the greatest.
He's probably top 10.
He did not play that great.
What?
That game was
probably top 10?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Peyton Manning had very little to do with that
he
win.
Didn't,
very
had hardly anything to do with it.
Very little to
it,
do
I
with
bet
it.
The under on every Peyton Manning prop and had a hell of a day.
So, did you?
Yeah.
So 10 years from now, do you sit and say, well, Peyton had two, but really should only get credit for one?
No, but I don't think that did anything. I think his legacy was stamped before Sunday. Like, I don't think that really enhanced anything.
Well, but here's the thing. How many Super Bowls has Ben Roethlisberger won?
I don't know. Two.
He's won two.
Okay.
His first Super Bowl, his stats, take Manning's, and they were way worse than Manning's last game. But people still give him credit for two.
I read that was the worst quarterback rating in Super Bowl history.
No, people are wrong. Ben Roethlisberger's was like 22.4. I looked all this up.
Because of course you did. You need a life.
Of course you did, Statman. Hey, Statman.
Get a life.
So, I mean,
I don't think it did. Like, and if he would have lost, I don't think it would have hurt his legacy.
Well, here's another thing.
I think this year he is who he is. He's not a very good quarterback who happens to play for an elite defense.
Since I keep going back to Tom Brady.
If Brock Osweiler started that game, they would have won.
Probably.
Yeah.
If Drew Bledsoe would have started the first Super Bowl for Tom Brady, they probably knew.
What year is that? I don't even.
Well,
2003.
The point is, Tom Brady played four or five games his first playoffs, right? He threw one touchdown pass the entire playoffs.
See, there he goes back to Brady again.
But it's not what I'm. My point is people can sit and say, "Well, Manning did nothing to deserve a Super Bowl."
Sorry,
but
I didn't mean to make it down there.
And I'm not arguing that the defense won it, but defenses won Super Bowls for NFL quarterbacks forever, and all these NFL quarterbacks are always judged on how many Super Bowls they won. So Tom Brady and Joe Montana are the greatest because they've won the most ever. That's where I disagree, and I say no. Brett Favre is better. I don't care if he's won one and they've won four, because at the end of the day, quarterbacks need a good defense. Otherwise, they don't win. That's my point. And there, So then
we're basically agreeing that this did nothing to Manning's legacy.
For my opinion, but for some people, public,
So you're arguing with me, and we have the same opinion.
The perception from others is it's quarterbacks get judged based solely on Super Bowls. I think that's ridiculous.
What it did do, though, if anything, was it equaled him with his brother. So now people can't use that argument anymore. Well, heck, you know, Eli's won more than Peyton.
Yeah,
you heard that a lot. So you can't do that anymore. And I do think Peyton rides off into the sunset.
I do too.
I think he should. If he comes back, he's an idiot.
Marshawn is. Calvin Johnson.
He's way too obsessed with his own image. There's no way he'll try and make a comeback.
Yeah,
that's been the story of his career, like in the backstory of it. Like I mean, you can read stuff about him. Like every time, like he's struggled in his career, he'll plant like a man. I've got this nagging injury to Adam Schefter, and then he goes off, and then like that's just Peyton. And I would argue it's very smart because he's a brand. He's not a player. He's a guy who when he's done playing is going to continue to be making millions of dollars a year because of that.
Well, apparently
there's no way he comes back and sucks next year, because that's exactly what he would do.
He not only owns a bunch of Papa John's, which was weird that Papa John came and kissed him after the game.
That was the Papa John.
That was him.
Wow.
Like, could you see, like, when he was walking out to the field,
him?
He kind of did.
Cheek.
Did you see Peyton kind of lingering, like looking over to the side, like waiting
was
for someone?
He was waiting
for Papa John. Papa John came over and kissed him on the cheek. But apparently, not only that, but he also owns some distributorships.
Yeah,
for beer. That's why he's saying like the Budweiser stuff. You know, he's plugging the crap out
he's
of stuff.
Smart guy.
Jeez, I don't know.
I like how we went Bud Diesel, not Bud Light, not Bush Light, but Budweiser.
And it wasn't just like I'm going to have a cold Budweiser. Like I'm going to drink a bunch.
And then he lied to us and said that Von Miller would pay for it.
Vaughn's not paying.
If you own a distributor,
free.
Yeah, you're not going to make your defensive end pay
for
it.
He's in San Fran though. He doesn't have it's not like he's at his house where he's got a ton there. I mean, they're going out. They went out. I watched him. He got interviewed on the Today Show yesterday morning, and he was still awake. He never even went to bed.
Bull crap. Peyton was in. What time did that game get over out there?
Peyton was 7.
Peyton was in bed by 9:30. Come on, I'm not buying it, Peyton. You're old.
Yeah, he's polished. He knows what he's doing.
He was, he was in an ice bath and in bed by 9. He was having hot cocoa, and then he was going down.
He's probably taking human growth hormone to wind down.
Have you watched that yet?
I don't think that story's over.
I don't either.
I think there's a little bit of meat to it.
I've been reading more and more on it. I haven't watched it yet. Ross watched it. Ross is convinced he took HGH. Yeah. He is convinced. I don't know yet. I want to learn more.
Yeah, I'm not saying he did it, but in a nutshell, I read that HGH has three uses, basically. There's three reasons you would have it. One is HIV, and then there's
HIV, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then there's another one that's random. And then the last one is the reason you would take HGH if you wanted to, increase, healing or whatever. But the point was, this Geyer clinic that it came from has no business having any of that. It just, the whole thing doesn't make sense. There's a lot of questions. The reason people dismissed it so quickly is because it was Al Jazeera that reported on it.
Yeah.
If it had been USA Today or Newsweek or whatever, then people would have been like, there's something here. But Al Jazeera, you just think terrorist, frankly.
You do. You think of the Iraqi ambassador saying the United States is not in our country.
Yeah.
That's what you think of when you hear in our country when you think of them.
So
the most weird thing about that whole deal to me is the guy who had all these claims and these reports. So it's all these detailed accounts of all these people who are on the record about this, and then at the end this guy's just like, oh no, never mind, I made everything up.
Yeah.
And that just seems really weird to me that they would still go ahead and publish. There's more that needs to be looked into here. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'd love to know how many dudes in the NFL were actually taking that. It's probably 50% of them. So
I assume a lot.
Why aren't people talking about, if it's just Peyton, we can't just put Peyton in it. All those guys from the Packers. Clay Matthews is on there.
I have a weird thought when it comes to HGH, steroids, whatever. Again, this is from the premise that all of these sports have one thing in common, and that they are an entertainment product. So the farther the baseball gets hit, the faster the fastball is, the faster the punt returner is, that's fun to watch. We want that. We want guys that are hitting 800-foot home runs because you're like, holy crap. We don't want, the home run leader to have 30 homers. You know what? We'd rather have them have 70.
We want to see Brady Anderson and Luis Gonzalez hitting 56.
That was fun to watch, though, right? Even if it was artificial. So my point is, in a lot of sense, because it is for entertainment purposes, just make it illegal. If they want to take stuff, take stuff. Then everybody would take stuff, sports would be more exciting.
Would you still want to watch if you knew that you were watching them potentially kill themselves?
Well, we're already doing that in a sense.
It's kind of like Hunger Games-ish.
The more Tyler Sashes you see, the more Junior Seau.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm
going. Every time you see a big hit now, which they show all the time on TV and people ooh and ah, you're thinking, all right, that dude's probably going to die 10 years earlier now because of that.
Yeah.
And it's a reality.
Here's why you can't do it in baseball, because baseball, more than any other sport, is about records and statistics. And if you have guys since 1990 that have been taking HGH and steroids and guys in 1950, it's not an even playing field. And in baseball, more so than any other sport, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. My probably my favorite sports time as a fan was watching Sosa and McGuire go back and forth. I mean, that was so much
fun. Awesome.
It was so
that
much
home
fun.
Run derby.
Oh gosh.
What a night.
When else has baseball during the regular season been really exciting? That's when it was happening.
Yeah.
And who cares if they were juiced? It was fun to watch. It takes the playoffs to get people excited.
I would argue, though, Adam, you're exactly right. I guess for me, and I'm a casual baseball fan. I'm not, especially when the Braves suck. This year I will hardly ever watch a game. But I think that a lot of people, myself included, like I used to be like that with the records, but I just have no trust in it anymore. Like well, I don't.
That's
I don't
the unfortunate
really,
part of it.
Yeah, I don't really do that anymore. Like I did 10 years ago, even.
And watching it that way is a lot more fun. I'm not arguing with you on that, but it was fun at the time because we didn't know they were cheating.
Yeah.
If you knew they were cheating and hitting 70 home runs, it's not as fun.
I totally agree.
Then you're like, oh well, yeah, he hit it, but he's
but
he's juiced this
totally
morning.
Agree.
Didn't put
but
a needle up his ass.
Part of
today.
You didn't. Part of you. Assume because you're
no,
you're
I was
smarter.
Too young and naive. I didn't.
See, I wasn't because
you're
I remember
older,
I know what Mark McGwire looked like on
you're,
his.
You're
on,
almost a decade older.
Yeah,
than us.
On his rookie card, I know what he looked like. I know what Sammy Sosa looked like. I know what Barry Bonds looked like. These were skinny dudes.
Have you guys done much like
you know?
I was obsessed with this back in the day because I'm obsessed with politics and like it's politics and sports mixing together. Like I was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I read probably like three of those books on Bonds. Have you ever done any of that? Like, oh
no.
My God. Like the, I mean, we've got this guy caught red-handed. You know what I mean? Like it and he just, like, you made the point about his rookie card.
Yeah.
Like in the difference in, but like he was great then. That's what's crazy about it.
Well, that's why
he was
I don't.
Like a 30,
that's why
30
I don't.
Yeah.
That's why I don't
He's
buy
not like Sammy Sosa. Like Sammy needed roids to become Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, exactly.
Barry Bonds was already
Barry Bonds in my opinion.
He was
opinion,
already
is
a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He was great back when he was a skinny little dude, but then he doubled in size.
Just do.
He got huge.
I agree with like what you know. My co-host on KXNO Ross is a huge baseball nerd. And he's just like put a steroid era in the hall, and I'm with that because it's a museum. That's what the Hall of Fame is. It's a museum.
And I think it's dumb. I mean, I think it's
you're
dumb
not that celebrating that, it. You're saying, hey, this
you know
is.
that Pete Rose. You know all the issues with him. It's like, was Pete Rose a fantastic player? One of the best ever. Absolutely he was. So I don't get this. Well, he became a manager and then he bet on a few games, so he's out. You know, he's banned from baseball for life. It doesn't change the fact that he was a great player. You know, steroids doesn't change the fact that Barry Bonds was a great player before he did that. I hate that argument.
This is where it comes back to me being the oldest 30-year-old in the room here or in the world.
This is true.
Because
very old.
At what point, if you do something wrong, are there no longer consequences? I'm sorry. If you cheat, there should be consequences. And I'm sorry. We're at the point in the world now where everyone goes, well, yeah, he cheated, but he didn't cheat as bad as this guy. And he cheated, but everyone was cheating. And I'm sorry.
Well,
it sets a terrible precedence that cheating is okay. It's not okay.
Isn't it a consequence, though, like if you're in the Hall of Fame and with a huge asterisk next to your name? Like, wouldn't that be less of a honor? I would almost say that's almost a punishment.
All of them have faced consequences.
Because you're going to be remembered to eternity as a cheat.
Yeah, you can't tell me that all three of those players, specifically Bonds, Sosa, and McGwire, that all three of them did not lose millions of dollars
Absolutely.
In future contracts and endorsements. So
especially McGwire.
It's not
he was
that
beloved.
They didn't lose nothing from this. They lost a lot because of
it. But how much money
it doesn't mean they have to lose everything.
How much money did they gain during the time that they were cheating? How much money did Barry or Sammy Sosa make because he was cheating? A lot.
I agree with both of you. But I think if Sammy Sosa wouldn't have cheated and that was real. Like that guy could walk around Chicago doing anything he wants. Endorsement wise, and now like he has to fake that he can't speak English.
Well, and he's white now, too.
What? Which is,
he's white. He's like white,
I haven't seen this.
Google his picture while you're looking. Sammy Sosa's turned white. I'm not crapping you either.
He's like the Michael Jackson.
Like, is this like Michael Jackson? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, apparently
I feel uncomfortable talking about
it. It's a condition, but the guy looks white.
It's a condition?
It is. I didn't know that. I wasn't sure.
He didn't do it on purpose.
I know.
It was either some byproduct of something he was taking.
Man, I hope he's okay.
Probably those steroids.
Or pigment, some type of pigment or something. I don't know.
All right, let's get to Iowa State. We've got to hand off our equipment here after a bit to the seniors who are going to be recording their weekly podcast. What did you guys think about the big win? I won't call it a big win, but it was a win.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
No road win's a bad win, but it was probably the most hideous game I've watched in 4 or 5 years.
It was a bad Big 12 basketball game.
It was terrible.
There was a lot of those lately. Did you watch TCU Oklahoma State last night? Anything Oklahoma State's involved in right now is pretty ugly.
Who ended up winning that?
TCU.
Was it at TCU?
That was the easiest.
They didn't have Evans, did they?
Yeah, TCU was a dog.
Yeah.
TCU beat Texas at home.
Going back to the game on Saturday, and again, we sucked, they sucked, the game sucked, whatever. We won, which was nice. You know, we won without Jameel. Great. We got the win. No one's going to give us credit for that win because it sucked. But the question I had is, and I know Chris will have a take on this, yes, winning matters, but what the hell happened at Oklahoma State to their attendance? They hold 13-1, I think. They averaged 7,000-something last year. Didn't Oklahoma State used to be a program that people cared about? Is it really the NBA keeps everybody away?
They say that, and I have a buddy who covers them, and he – it's a combo of that, and it's a combo of they just hate Travis Ford, apparently. They're fans.
I hear stuff like that, and it's like, do people really stay away because of the head coach?
Well, I mean, if you're not winning,
and you're not supporting the players no matter what.
You're constantly. Well,
look at Hilton during Wayne Morgan and Greg McDermott days. It wasn't what it is now.
They probably got, 5,000 to 10,000 people who are showing up, you know, like you would, Mark. Yeah. But there's a lot of people who just stay away if you're not a winner. And so, and another thing that's interesting about them is their alumni base. Is not like there's not much in Stillwater. It's not like Iowa State where we've got Des Moines a half hour. I don't know the distance between
Oklahoma City and Stillwater.
Yeah, I don't know that. But apparently, I got into a Twitter conversation with some guys about this the other day. But I do think that I think we're all kidding ourselves too. If an NBA team popped up in Des Moines and there was a game on the same night. Yeah. It'd probably take some. Like, I still think Hilton would find a way to be full because there's so much a demand for Iowa State basketball. However, like it is interesting because Oklahoma's is dipped too.
Yeah,
I don't think this is just Oklahoma State, so there might be something to it. But I think that what's weird about them though is even when they had like Smart and
Brian Nash, they were
still
good.
Yeah, they were good. They were top 10, and it still wasn't full.
No.
Yeah, I don't get it. But every time I see that, it does make me appreciate Hilton more because it's
– should.
We have something very unique that happens. I mean, we're going to be, 98%, 99% of capacity for the season probably, and there's only a tiny handful of schools that will be able to say that.
Correct.
So, good job, Cyclone fans.
Yeah.
I didn't see what you showed him. Was that a picture of white Sammy Sosa?
It was Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Baseball been very, very good to me.
very good.
It was a nice win. The first 10 minutes of the game, I was about ready to not turn it off, but it was borderline unwatchable. But, you know, not having McKay obviously had an impact, but Oklahoma State not having Evans was a bigger loss for them than not having McKay for Iowa State. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that even down at Oklahoma State, I thought that was a game. Once I found out Evans wasn't going to play, I thought we were going to win by 20. I honest to God did. So it was a little bit concerning, especially now Jameel's not playing again against Texas Tech. Texas Tech's a better basketball team than Oklahoma State.
I like Iowa State by double digits tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I like where the guys are at right now.
I like that.
I do. Talking to some people.
You did say the same thing before Oklahoma State, though.
Well, and I was damn proud of how they came back. Like, I was with Adam. Like, when they got off to that start, I was like, rut-row.
Yeah.
They could bury their head in the sand pretty easily right here, just with everything that's happened the last 48 hours and knowing some of the backstory there. And I was a little bit concerned. And, I mean, they didn't quit. And when you factor in that Nader didn't score, I mean, you basically beat them with four guys scoring-wise.
Nader didn't score, and Niang was terrible in the first half.
Yeah, I was proud of the guys. Like, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing, but I was very proud of their, like, they won with defense, you know. And
when did George forget how to dribble? Ways. By the way,
well, I think this did traveling George, stuff is in his head.
Did George travel like crazy last year?
No.
Am I forgetting this?
No, but he was doing the exact same stuff he's doing now. They're just calling it now. There's no different of what he's doing than what he's always done.
He's done the same thing for 3.5 years.
But I hate.
2 weeks ago.
I hate stuff like that, though. It's like if he was traveling last year, they would have called travel last year. Why would they not be calling it?
They're inconsistent.
And now he's calling it. I don't get it.
They clearly sent out a memo saying, hey,
let's start calling traveling.
Because, not only him, but Matt Thomas has been called for more travels lately.
Did you watch that Kansas-Kentucky game a couple weeks ago? There were a ton of them in that.
Yep.
It's really annoying.
It's funny, though, because we've sat here and complained about not calling travels, where I have for the last 5 years. Like, when do they stop calling travels? They never call travels anymore. Now, I think they've almost gone too much to the extreme,
Yeah.
where it's getting annoying.
It's really making games more difficult to watch just across college basketball.
There's no flow.
Did you hear Jess Settles on our show a couple weeks ago? He's doing like an actual like research on this.
Really?
And being a former big man, you know, he was fired up about it. Like he thinks Niang's just getting totally screwed.
Really?
Yeah. He is just.
Like, I love Settles.
He is beside himself, like with some of the calls he's seen on Niang. Because he's like, this is his problem with it, is he'll do the exact same thing one game to another, and one ref will call him for a travel and the other one won't. Yep. It's like 50-50 as a player. How are you supposed to?
I would like to see some isolated video of his moves in different games doing the exact, because he does a lot of the same moves game to game, and see which ones, what's the difference between this one and this one, and there probably is no difference.
No, there's not.
Listen, with the guys to wrap it up, they are in a really good spot mentally. Behind the scenes, this is as good as they've been all year as far as a coach to player, like being on the same wavelength. And they're probably not going to
You're calling the Big 12 tournament.
We're not. But we are going to make a nice run in March Madness. It might be 10-7 or 11-7 or 10-8 in the Big 12. This team is this Jameel thing. When we look back in March, I think could be the best thing that happened.
Because you say Coach Poyer, they're the best they've been this year.
Watch Monte and Coach Prome.
But I'm just saying, you're saying that's what's happening, which is fine, but it's also coinciding with one of their own having obviously an issue.
Yeah, because Prome has stepped up.
They're in the best place because that happened?
Not because he's gone, but because, like, over the last month, like, Prome has really owned this thing.
Yeah.
And not just Prome, D-Rob, TJ, like, all those guys. And I think it took some losing for the guys to say, okay, like, we're buying in completely to you.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it. And yeah. They might lose to Tech. Who knows? And they're going to lose a couple more games that we're all going to think are disappointing, I believe. Maybe it's Saturday night at home against Texas. I don't know. But I can tell you that they are mentally like as engaged as they have been all year. And this McKay thing, I don't know if he'll even play against Texas. I really don't. Like, he's got to get it together. Because they're not going to trot him out there unless he does it right. And that, like, if we get that guy back, that Jameel back, this is going to be a good thing.
And you can throw some games. When I say throw some games, not play Jameel and lose, knowing that it's going to hurt you short-term for a long-term game. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think that's
kind of what they're doing right now.
They have to, yeah. Because he's not what he was. I mean, we were sitting here last week on the podcast killing him. Well, I wasn't killing him. You two were. I just kind of sat in the weeds. But
I was killing him.
You were right. It needed to be said. The guy needed an attitude adjustment. And kudos for Prome and the other coaching staff for putting him in place. So now if he can figure it out and stay off social media where he's saying, no, they're just trying to make me look bad.
One game. And someone out saying stuff like that.
Well, when I found out that he was texting or talking to Travis and Randy, like, I'm like, there's another game.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that is unacceptable. Like, you keep that in-house. If you're a player and you're talking to the media over, like, that is completely unacceptable.
In a nutshell.
Good job by those guys for getting the quotes. Like, they were just doing their job.
Without talking specifics, which I frankly don't care about, is it safe to say he was suspended because of attitude?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I mean,
tired of the prima donna crap, tired of
practice and stuff. And, I mean, either he missed a practice, but it seems to me like just reading into all of Prohm's comments about program expectations, building a program, got to do this right, you got to do things right. That seems to me like attitude is it.
I read into that like he's too much of a, and this is just me, but I read into that he's too much about him and not enough about team. And that's what I felt about him all
year. That's fair.
Probably fair. And I think this is not something that's been recent. I think it's probably been something that's been going on for a while where it's just enough is enough.
I think it goes all the way back to Europe.
Yeah.
Remember those cryptic tweets from Europe?
Yep.
Everybody's having a great time in Europe, except Jameel, who apparently hates life now.
Is he the only one still currently, not about this incident, but is he the only one tweeting on the team?
I don't follow him.
I mean, I've seen his tweets.
I have not seen a tweet from any other guy.
But they're not a social media team, is my point. They're not all on there tweeting this and that all the time.
They're on Instagram quite a bit.
Are they?
Yeah, they post pictures on Instagram.
Does anybody here do Instagram?
My wife does.
Can I hear a funny story about my Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, you got hacked, right?
I got hacked. Yeah, I got hacked by some
porno site?
Some porn site or something. Yeah, I don't know if it's a porn site or
what. Were they posting nudie photos everywhere?
No, they didn't post any photos, but they went and asked like 1,000 people to like it, and then they put like a link in the bio. So hopefully they're probably wanting people to click the link. Well, I was able to get my password back, get it reset. Well, since they'd sent out so many friend requests, I am now blocked from my own Instagram account. I have to take a picture with like a code and send it to their team so
they
know it's actually me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
Yes. Change your passwords, kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I'm excited about the future of this, because this is another reason why Burton has finally bought in. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had bought in earlier. Did you see the defense Burton was playing on Saturday?
I've liked Burton all
closing
year.
Closing out on threes. Like, I mean, he's been terrible defensively all year. But, I mean, he's still kind of a black hole when he gets the ball. Nader can be that way too. But I guess at some point you just have to live with that, with those mm-hmm. guys, and hope you get more positive results than negative. But, man, yeah. Like, if he's playing D like that and if he's trying to rebound.
Yeah, he needs to do better rebounding.
Yeah, I know, but I think he's getting better at it, though, is the thing. Like, I'm just seeing him. He's more active. He's more engaged. And then the fact that, you know, Ashton and Cook, like, if you can just get what you can from those guys, and they're I like where they're at.
By the way,
and Monte and George are both playing the best ball of their career.
The last game, by the way, did not back me off a single bit from my team MVP being Matt Thomas.
Matty Ice.
Yeah. 3 for his first 4.
He's fantastic.
Hitting shots when nothing else was happening for the team.
Fantastic.
Why do we go away from him? We've done it.
He's been doing that all year.
We've done it at the end, like last 10 minutes of every game. We essentially never get
it. It just turns into a 2-man game, yeah.
It drives me crazy. He had the hot hand. He was 4 for 5 on 3-pointers, and I think he shot 1 shot the last 10 minutes of the game. Makes no sense to me.
You see that all the time.
Riding your All-Americans would be my only...
No, and I get it, but at that time, yeah. When they went away from him, Niang was still struggling. Like, he got going, obviously. So, it wasn't a terrible thing, but there was about a 5-minute period where we went up from 13 to down 1, where I don't think Matt Thomas touched the ball once. That's just something to think
that
about.
Was, that 11-0 run was all off of second-chance points, too, I believe.
Yes, it was. You read my tweet.
No, actually, I heard Prohm say that on the coach's show.
Prohm read my tweet then.
Oh, Prohm.
Good job out of you.
He looks forward to those Adam Gray tweets.
Yeah. He couldn't have because he's not on Twitter.
I have a special DM tweet still that go directly to him. He's sitting on the bench.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to say clones by 10 tomorrow.
By 10, wow. I actually, you're going to kill me for this.
You're picking Tech?
No, I will not be watching the game.
Why not? I won't either. I have to DVR it. I'll be calling the women's game.
Yeah, I got to DVR it too. Well, I don't have DVR. I'll be watching on the Watch ESPN app afterwards. But I'm taking my wife out for Valentine's Day tomorrow because it's the only day I can get anyone to watch my kids. So, yeah, that's bonus points though, guys. If you can miss my wife knows how obsessed I am with Iowa State.
Yeah.
If I will miss an Iowa State game live to take her on a date,
so
she's happy with that.
Is it bad that I'm not even going to take my wife out?
No.
I don't have a plan either, man.
Yeah.
I don't.
My wife likes Valentine's Day, and I love my wife, so I take
Valentine's Day is such a crock.
It is a crock, actually.
Why isn't there like a day for dudes? That's what
our wives would say that's every day.
Bull crap, not with my wife. She doesn't do anything for me.
I don't disagree that Valentine's Day is a crock.
I'm going to ask her.
But I do enjoy a good date night with my wife. You know, you got 3 kids. You got to get away. You got to have some quality one-on-one time.
That's
together,
what bench warmers on Thursday night.
Yeah, she's coming on bench. We're bringing the kids.
No, don't bring her.
Where are you going?
I think you value way too much time with your wife. Honestly, just my honest opinion. Your wife is lovely. Don't
you do seem to really like your wife.
I mean,
I do like
for real. Like when I have free time,
for the record,
I'm a fan of my wife.
When I have free time, that's the last thing I want to do.
My wife listens to this and she knows I can't stand her.
It's not
so
that I don't.
It's all good.
I do love her, but I'm around her all the time. I sleep next to her for crying out loud
every night, man.
I'd like something else to do.
Yeah,
sorry. sorry.
Yeah.
You guys probably don't cuddle in bed, do you?
Oh, cuddling is the worst.
Not anymore.
What? Yeah.
I put an end to that a long time ago.
Did you really?
We sleep facing opposite directions. We want a king bed so we can get farther away from each other.
That's our problem. So we got a queen right now in Dirks.
Yeah.
See, Dirks sleeps with us.
Yeah, he's hogging.
And he sleeps in between us usually.
A king will solve that.
See, that is wrong. You got to get rid of the dog in the bed.
No.
That is, do you know how much more, you know, nookie you can
what
get?
Yeah, what happens when it's nookie time? You just say, Dirks, go down to the end of the bed and watch? Or do you say, Dirks, get out of here?
Dirks actually has to get locked out of the room because
he'll come in and try to join.
See, Dirks is, he gets really excited when
he humps everything.
No.
Yes, he does.
He humps middle-aged men.
He humps me every time.
Yeah, I know. Like, Bloom too.
So he comes in and tries to hump Williams mid-hump.
It's basically. You. It's
like
you.
A tray.
You, Bloom, and Rob Gray.
The Dirks strain. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's our problem. So, like, we need to get the king because Dirks is in the middle.
Because Dirks is a pervert, just, dude.
The first 3 years Julie and I were married, we had a double.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I'm a big guy.
That's horrible.
We had a double back in the day when we were broke.
So where are you going on the date?
We're going to go downtown to Skips. You been to Skips on Fleur?
I've been to Skips, yeah.
Take her down to the Fuzzy's Taco Show.
And then we're going to go to see a movie on Fleur.
Yeah.
The movie Brooklyn, because I think it's kind of like a
Movie. That's,
you know, it's a Valentine's Day movie.
You're such a loser.
It's up for some awards. that's what I know.
Hey.
Gray is such a chode.
Are you going to show up with a corsage for her?
Did you really just call me a chode?
Yeah. What are you going to... Are you going to kiss her on the... Are you going to open her door for her?
Of course he is.
You're going to...
I can tell by the look in the
face. You're
going
to send her flowers to work?
No, I won't do
that. Douche.
How long have you guys been together, total, including marriage?
Oh, this 9 years now.
9 years.
See, that's
nine
the
years.
Problem.
But I've known her since, like, kindergarten. You know, we both at Johnston. We both went to school.
That's probably part of the problem. I've been with my wife over half of my life at this point.
It just gets to the point where it's just like, blah. Honestly, like, and I would say this if she were sitting here. This is
great.
I love her more than anything in the world, so it's not. And I think she would say the same about me, so I don't feel bad about it. Like, it's just another day.
We need to go more double dates. I need to rub off on you a little bit.
Apparently, I'm a terrible husband compared to you.
The difference is this. Williams and I both love our wives too. We just don't flaunt it. Yeah. You know,
I don't need to brag about it.
I didn't really realize I was bragging. I was hoping you guys would feel sorry for me.
Yeah, you're all like, oh well, you don't know how great of a husband I am. During an Iowa State game, I'm taking her.
Never said.
What is the Cyclone Nation going to do without your tweets during the game?
Yeah,
I'd be happy.
what is your game plan when you record a game? Like, do you just leave the phone at home?
Phone will be turned off. I will tell my brother JR is watching the kids, so I will tell him.
You're leaving the kids with JR?
Yeah. Pray for us. I will tell JR if he needs to get a hold of either of us to call Julie, because I know I will get texts and tweets throughout the game, so it will be off. And I will actually, when we get home, I will have Julie go in. JR will leave, so I don't even see his face, and then I will come in the house afterwards and turn it on.
Can you tell by his face what happened during the game?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
We get off. Our game is at 6, the women's.
Yep.
Men start at 8. So basically, I get off the air at 8:30. Probably take off from Morgantown 9:30. I'll have the thing DVR'd, and I will just not turn on my phone until I get home. After I've watched the game is basically how I'm.
Does that kind of drive you nuts,
hard.
Though?
Are
you guys like me that if you happen to leave somewhere and forget your phone or it's off, you just feel totally disconnected?
Just break out in sweats?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It feels weird. We are addicted to our technology. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch it live, and I'll make sure that both of your phones are off because I'll text you score updates. So the minute you turn your phones on, it's going to be blasting.
So I've turned off my text alerts before for a game, and I've been started watching it. And then as soon as the game's over, I'll turn it on, and there'll be a message from Chargers like, yeah, thanks for not getting back to me, dickhead.
Yeah, you're the worst to text during a game because your phone's not on.
I turn it off.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I just want a little interaction during these games.
You are a big-time in-game texter, and I'm the opposite because I don't want to talk to people during games.
See, but I've got other...
Twitter all the time.
Well, I know because I'm focusing on work.
I've got other people...
And I'm taking notes and doing all that stuff. Like, the last thing I want to do is...
Well, I don't text you when you're, like, at Hilton working. I'm not texting you if maybe they're on the road and I know you're not there.
Yeah.
Then. But not at home games, I don't.
Just come on over anytime you want. My Cyclone game watches are the best.
I'll be there.
Yeah, is Bloom there?
Bloom
Did we watch the one? No, he was calling the women's on Saturday.
Does Bloom
and I usually watch games
when he watches a game, because he's Mr. Ref, does he focus on the refs?
Oh, God, it's so annoying.
And he'll, like, say that they're calling wrong.
Or, yeah, great mechanics. Yeah, yeah. Great call. That's a good call.
Great mechanics.
Like, he says great mechanics, I want to face punch.
See, and I tried to have Bloom get his money where his mouth is, because the Big 12 director of officials did a teleconference yesterday, and I sent Bloom the link, and I was like, you should write a column about this. Like, whatever, like, I'm sure traveling was addressed. Like, let's hear about it. And I didn't get a response from Bloom. So apparently Bloom's not the referee aficionado that he thinks he is.
He's been out of the game for a while. You know, he's probably past his prime a little bit.
Well, Bloom got that promotion at Des Moines University, and now he's less interested in the Fanatics.
He betters his life, and he forgets about the little guys.
Considering that Bloom looks like he's 14, and he was a ref, I can't imagine he didn't take any abuse back in the day.
Dude,
from the student sections or wherever he was.
He has actually said that's one of the things that kind of holds certain guys back from being, like, college and NBA refs is not having more size. I mean, he said that before, hasn't he? Like, usually they
It helps if you're 6'3".
Yeah, if you're 6'3", then, the players and the coaches typically don't yell at you quite as much as they do if you're, like, 5'7".
Yeah.
That would make sense because that's human nature.
Yeah.
You just don't mouth off to bigger people as much as you do little.
No.
That would make sense to me.
All right. We're at like 40 minutes. You guys got anything else before we hand off the equipment to the boys?
Well, just make sure you get out there Thursday.
Thursday.
We'll have the top 50 recruiting guests will be there in attendance.
Yeah, they're excited. They're wanting to see what this is all about.
We got a bus picking them up.
Got that. We're ready to go.
It's in the process.
Okay.
It'll be done by the end of the day.
Okay.
How many special guests? Somewhere between like 15 to 20 are we expecting?
Yeah, I'm guessing around like 20, yeah.
Wow.
20 special guests. Nice.
Got anything special planned for
There's one special guest who will do the primary speaking who's very excited.
Is it the one?
He's like very handsome.
Yeah.
Got a beautiful family. Mark's tried to sell him a house.
Doesn't he have a kid on the way?
Yeah, kid on the way in March. And he...
For the record, I never actually tried to sell anyone a house. I just,
Well, you tried
sending gifts.
How are you going to do an interview on him? Because, usually you get a little bit at these. You've probably had a couple bush lights by the time
Yeah.
So you tend to get a little racy.
Racy?
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Is that where I'm going with it?
No, I'll totally do that here.
You will? Okay.
That's the glory of the Cyclone Fanatic Party. Yeah. Like, when these guys go to the Iowa State one, which they conveniently had this year, it's very like by the book. We're on school property. When they come to ours, it's fun. It's a younger demographic. It's totally different. So, and that's what we want to be. We want to be the cool, young, hip brand.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how many years it takes.
That's why they do
it. To loosen up, because it took Fred a couple years, and then Fred by the end, he was.
That's why these coaches do it.
Great.
It's not because they like us. It's because they want to. They want to relate and meet the younger demographic of season ticket holders and fan, and that's who we connect with at Cyclone Fanatic. Like, sure, there are older people who read our stuff, and we're not forgetting about them. But we have if you would run our demographics, males 18 to 40. I mean, that's who you're reaching at Cyclone Fanatic, big time. Mm-hmm. And that's what they like about it, is because you're touching a different part of the fan base that can't necessarily afford to be in the Gridiron Club or do this or,
Yeah.
That's why they like doing it. And that's what the new guests are excited about.
Can we just come out and say the
no.
guests are? We can't?
No.
Gee, it isn't obvious at this point, is it, either? Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either, man.
Why don't you go sell a house? How's Charter House doing?
Charter House is doing
CharterHouseIowa.com.
We're listing a house today, actually, for a big Cyclone fan, Fanatic fan. He's on there all the time.
Oh, cool.
So,
By the way,
it'll sell quickly.
Your office?
Yes.
Is it right by that, like, U.S. Cellular dealer?
Yep.
Because I drive on my way to the gym.
Yep.
Every day I see your stupid truck now.
That's going to get rewrapped soon, so my face will be leaving it.
I can think about is the black light and everything that happened in Nebraska in the back of that thing.
The soup kitchen?
Yes.
And that's what they call that. That's a great spot. I get a free billboard.
That's a good spot.
That's $1,000 a month billboard
that
spot.
That is a really...
And I pay nothing because I can just park my truck there.
That's great.
We should do a podcast from your office.
Once it's open, yeah. Absolutely. It'll be a closer drive for you.
You'll have a pool table.
Yeah.
You got any spare rooms in there that I could make an office in?
There aren't any offices. Even the owner owner myself doesn't have an office. It's really? It's an open concept office.
I got you.
That is stupid. You should have an office.
We have a conference room.
Can we get a key so we can just stop in anytime we want to?
I've never had an office.
Well,
in my life, I've never had an office.
You can come in and do podcasts. I need you to teach me how to do this.
In here.
No, I was told I couldn't put stuff up.
I'm going to start doing some. I'm going to start doing some real estate related podcasts, and so you need to teach me how to actually do one. That would be nice.
Okay, you know? I can do that.
People wonder why we don't have this sometimes.
It'll cost you.
It's because Chris is not available, and neither of us know how to do it, Gray. So
you know how many times Chris has said, "Gray, yeah, I'll teach you. You come over to my house sometimes. We'll crank it out." That's been like 3 years ago.
It's kind of like how we're going to go down to Clorinda.
We're doing that in May for Jared's party. Jared's going to be here to do the seniors here.
All right.
It's going to be epic.
That's what I'm going to lay the smack down to Jared.
Jeez, please.
Basketball.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on Thursday night. Later. Hello, quick predictions. I got Iowa State by 10. Anybody?
Less than 10, but they'll win.
If they won any game by 10 this year, they beat Kansas by 10 or 12 or 13. But, no, I'll take Iowa State by 3.
They beat Kansas State by 13 because I called that.
That you did.
Exactly.
But usually the games are close.
Yeah.
Closer
to clones by 10.